You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Thank you. Hey, hi. Hello, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TWE.
Which is brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Hello, girl.
And I'd like to say good evening to myself.
This is right in the middle of the Prague situation?
No, post-Prague. Now, since if you're joining the show late, Don is under the weather. He has pneumonia, we believe. Is it confirmed to be related to his COVID from a couple weeks ago?
He said it is. It's COVID pneumonia.
So it is COVID pneumonia. And he is resting in the hospital and getting better as we speak. So, Anthony, I think it's only right that we, a few times at least, say good evening to our friend, Don LaGreca.
Jam it up! I flush it!
Okay. If we get pushes, we get pushes.
That's kind of loud and irritating.
Yay! Uh-oh.
Was that butter?
Dear God.
I think Charlie just antagonized her.
Did you do ecstasy?
Oh, God. All right, Donnie, get better. We love you, bud.
Was doing porn.
Sure. Let's hear...
Imagine somebody comes in with a needle and he screams, jam it in, like that.
No, jam
it up!
Jam it up. Oh. That would be another test.
Did I make this up? Wow. Anthony, did I make it up, or do we eventually make the Bob Marley Don collaboration?
That sounds right. Let me go see if I can find that.
I can't remember whether we thought it, whether we took the Bob Marley Stir It Up and turned it to Jam It Up, or if it was just... relaxation.
Jam It Up!
Good times.
All right, let's hear from Stephen A. Smith on First Take. You know, Stephen A., like us, Michael, he doesn't take days off. He didn't take holidays off.
No.
And on First Take, he talked about who the face of the NBA is.
I believe it's Steph Curry, but by default, almost. He's winning, and LeBron is not. That's really what this comes down to for me. Now, if you want to sort of modify it to some degree, LeBron James is a face because of what he does off the court. To me, I'm speaking specifically of on the court. Steph Curry is just his box office. You walk through the turnstiles to see the show that this brother puts on. And even though LeBron puts on his own show and deserves mad credit for that, the Lakers struggle. Steph Curry's winning.
Mm. Thoughts?
I think... they're both box office. I think you could say they're 50-50 the face of the NBA. And it doesn't mean they're the best player. The best player could be in Brooklyn, who kind of like damned himself to, you know, anonymity unless the Nets end up winning. It's the way it is.
I know. Isn't that interesting? Because Brooklyn doesn't have a real fan base.
Right. They're more of a national team because of their great national players, but... You know, who's the homegrown Brooklyn Net?
Hard question, though. Like, what do you think the Warrior fan base was really like before the Steph Clay team?
They always had that. That was the hardest place to play.
Really?
Yeah. Oracle Arena, which they don't play in anymore. The one in Oakland was the play. I mean, it was always jammed. And they had really fun teams. They had the
they did.
Run DMC one.
Yep.
Or TMC. Yep. They had that with Mitch Richmond and Tim Hardaway and Chris Mullin. And Chris, so they
Chris
and again Chris well also Chris Mullin was in
they
there.
They had Chris
too.
Mullin before that, yeah.
Okay, so that was one of the hardest places to play. So it's always been a great fan base, always.
Yeah, because that's sort of the goal, I would think, of this Nets team. It's not only to win, it's to develop this fan base. You need championships a lot of times to start a true fan base. And the Nets don't have it.
I mean, if you look at television ratings, right, Peter, the Knicks have been a colossal disappointment this year. Colossal. And they consistently outrate the Nets by a lot from MSG to YES. And YES puts on a great broadcast, have great announcers.
Oh, they
and
sure do.
They have a great team. But it's very clear the Knicks are just simply outrate them by a lot.
Also, let's take a look back. We're talking about Steph Curry. So in talking about Steph, you must talk about the performance last night. One for the ages. Sets the All-Star Game record for three-pointers. He made 16. Scored 50 points. And took home the Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP trophy. First time in his career. Of course, the game, though, was decided on a LeBron James turnaround jumper to give Team LeBron that 163 needed to beat Team Durant.
You like the rule? With the, you know, the number to shoot for in the fourth quarter?
Adding 24?
Yeah.
Yes and no. Like, I think it does the job. I think it does the job most effectively. I mean, we had noticed over the last few years, even before they had that rule, that the games were heating up in like the last 5 to 7 minutes. But this makes it immediately competitive.
And it also puts import to each quarter.
Well, it's adding 24 points to the lead, the leader's total, right?
Right, yes.
So if your team has 150 and you're up to 130, you're now playing to 174.
Right.
So the other team would have to get from 130 to 174 to beat you.
Right. So you can't really give away quarters because you have a longer way to go to get to the, you know, the target number. And I like the fact there's no timeouts, no commercial breaks. Straight through basketball.
It does make it intense. It's fun. It's no doubt it turned out to be a fantastic night. Also, we haven't talked about this yet. What did you think about Chris Paul jumping in the game and playing for 2 minutes, even though we now know he has a fracture in his right thumb and he's out 6 to 8 weeks for Phoenix?
Had no problem with it.
Interesting.
It's an exhibition game, and he just wanted to get some run, just a little bit, and he certainly didn't put himself in any danger, and as long as the Suns are cool with it, no, I didn't have a problem at all. You did? Well, you just thought I would.
I thought you would. And
you don't even know me.
I know, I guess not. Charles didn't like it. They didn't like it. I don't think Charles or Shaq liked it. They thought it was a bad optic. If you're not able to play, to jump into the All-Star game to try to get an assist or whatever it was he was trying to do. They weren't into it. But I don't really feel strongly about it one way or the other. Let's go back to yesterday.
By the way, it's going to benefit the Suns, that injury. When the playoffs roll around, he is going to be fresh as a daisy. Remember, he's old.
Yeah, it is true. And it's just a fractured thumb. He'll be all right.
Right.
Let's hear from let's go back and hear the skirmish that broke out. This is the local play-by-play. Where is this from? This is Learfield. Okay. Play-by-play by Matt LePay. Michigan-Wisconsin skirmish yesterday.
And we've got a dust-up right now. Juwan Howard and Greg Gard were going nose-to-nose, and now we got a problem. We got pushing and shoving. We got a lot of chirping. We got a wrestling match going on. And Jacoby Neath being pulled away by Carter Higginbottom.
Yeah, there were some punches thrown in there.
Is it got nasty there in the end?
Sounds like Norm McDonald.
That did it. He did have a little Norm there.
Yeah, I thought that's a nice job. You have to in a moment like that, you can't get too emotional. because emotions are running high, and I guess that was radio, right?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, I thought he did a really good job.
Jay Billis on with KJM earlier saying that both coaches need to be held accountable.
It should be no less than it would be for a player, because I tend to think that we would be shaking our fingers at players and saying that the adults in the room know better. And it was the adults in the room that started this. Now, the players are adults, too. We tend to infantilize the players all the time in college sports, and they're adults. And some of them have their own children. But it was the coaches that acted like babies here. And I think the focus should be on the coaches. And if the sanctions are any less than it would be for a player, that would frost me a little bit.
You don't want to frost Jay Billis.
Excuse me? Let's hear from Mike Greenberg. Greeny asking the question, answering, would you send your son to play for Juwan Howard after this?
And we all have a tendency, perhaps sometimes, to give the benefit of the doubt to people that we are choosing to give the benefit of the doubt to. My immediate reaction to your question would be, I would still send Stevie to play for him. Now, the better question is, if this was a different coach, one I had never met, one about whom I had no preconceived notion, would it influence my thinking? I think the answer has got to be yes. Like, you have to at least take it into account in some way, if only from a purely practical standpoint, which is this is so public and he's going to get suspended and all that, that he probably then becomes a candidate to get fired if something else happens, right? Like this is not something you get like 3, 4, 5 strikes at, right? Like if there's another incident like this, he might get fired. And you have to take that into account, I think, when you're assisting your child in making a big decision like that.
I would have to see how he treats the kids on his team. Now, this is something that would distress me, and if I was a parent, I would talk to him about it. You know, why would you do this? You lost control. But if he treats his kids the right way, that would be the most important thing for me. Like, I would never, ever send my kid to a school where the coach is abusive, like Bobby Knight was. I wouldn't do it.
I know. It's... And that's, you know, that's one of the things that's been thrown around over the last day is what about Bobby Knight? And it's sort of like people were acting as if Bobby Knight is still talked about. He's talked about with the same reverence as Dean Smith. And he's not. He's not, because time has rewritten, and I think rightfully, the Bobby Knight legacy into one that is tainted by insane behavior. Do you think I'm wrong for saying that, Michael?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right.
He's not treated the same way as a true all-time. People know how amazingly talented he was, but he doesn't get respected in the same way.
I mean, his greatest pupil has distanced himself from him.
Talking Coach K?
Yeah.
And by the way, Coach K can be a maniac too, but not like Bobby Knight.
Oh, Coach K is, you know, as Ian O'Connor says in the book, really dirty mouth, screams all the time, curses the players right in their face. I mean, pushed Jay Williams, our very own Jay Williams, when he was at Duke, to the point that it was almost a physical altercation. So, you know, no one's perfect. No one's perfect.
All right. Moving along, shall we?
Let's do it.
Did you see that someone did donuts at Petco Field?
Yeah. Oh, not good.
A driver in a white Ford Bronco, obligatory OJ joke insert here, please.
Was it Al Cowlings?
That's right. It was AC. Did a joyride on the field at Petco Park.
And destroyed it.
Friday morning. And destroyed the field.
Here's what I don't get, Peter.
Okay.
What kind of security or lack thereof is there at Petco Park that you could drive a SUV in without anybody stopping you?
It's a great point. It's a great point.
I mean, if you did that at Yankee Stadium, a drone would take out the car before it got near the field. I mean, what are you doing? City Field, the same thing. I mean, what kind of security do they have in San Diego that you could just cavalierly drive an SUV onto a major league ballpark?
I understand, like, a person getting in who you're surprised gets in the building every once in a while. Someone got in without a ticket, whatever. How do you drive an SUV inside a stadium and do donuts on the field?
I mean, do they have, like, just a wide-open door?
And then, Michael, once they got in, they knew how to open the door, one of the gates to the field, and drive on?
unless it was open the way it is. Because it's San Diego, it's like heaven on earth, and nobody's going to do this, but Donut Guy did.
So,
and, you know, and the if you've been around baseball people, Peter, and you see the way the grounds crew takes care of their field like it's a child, the love and nurturing they put into it, the grounds crew probably crying.
I know. And it's been a rough year. They've already done a bunch of field-altering stuff this offseason. There was like a monster truck jam there already.
Well, maybe this was just left over. The guy didn't know he lost.
So, you, scary thought. If you are a football fan in the NFC East who does not root for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Micah Parsons, you would agree, Michael, one of the greatest rookie seasons we've ever seen.
Pretty damn special.
Like, jumps off the page. He was all pro. He finished second in defensive player of the year voting. 13 sacks, 20 tackles for a loss, 30 quarterback hits, 16 starts. He recently revealed in an interview that he was dealing with an injury the entire season. He was rehabbing throughout the season, and this reportedly goes back to a training camp practice on August 7th. But he said he was in a position battle. I'm going against Jalen Smith. The first game is coming up soon. This is during an interview with Bleacher Report Live. And he said, this is the worst time for this to happen, but it just kept lingering. When you hyperextend something, it needs rest, but I was like, I can't take no rest. The whole season, I just kept rehabbing to find a way that I could play in games. Dude, that's a terrifying thought.
I do wonder why it's articulated, though. I mean, do you want everybody to know how special you are? We already do. So if you play through the injury, what are you making it public now for?
Well,
to make yourself look even better?
Well, but hold on.
What?
You don't even know what the question was. Maybe the question was, hey, I heard you were dealing with a nagging injury. Or what was the hardest thing about your rookie season? You have no idea. How dare you come after Micah Parsons
I shouldn't have any idea. He should have just said it was all good.
Well, I don't. Is that required? Andrew, I'm bringing you in. What do you think about this take from Michael? I don't feel like that makes you a bad guy or like you're looking
for... Did I say he was a bad guy, you animal? Is that what I said?
Or he's looking for anything. What say you, Andrew?
I'm okay with what Micah Parsons did here. I mean, in football, I think it sometimes is... You know, injuries are such a part of the sport that I feel like it's just like a natural conversation point when talking about your season. You know, what you were playing through. I think that's just conversations that guys have in the NFL.
God, Michael.
Wow, you are such an apologist, Andrew. Go away.
To a cowboy? I got no love for him.
I'm sick of me.
By the way, I don't know if you know this. Andrew's still nude from the combination yesterday of Joel Embiid being in the All-Star game and Allen Iverson being honored in the NBA 75 plus doing commentary. Andrew has been nude since yesterday. Uncomfortable for Anthony.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that in a work setting, but.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So what do you think about this? Sort of buried this weekend, Brian Flores gets hired for a job as a defensive assistant for the Pittsburgh Steelers while he's suing the NFL.
I think that's the one team that would do it. I mean, the Rooneys are obviously disappointed the way the rule is being executed. And I love Mike Tomlin plays by his own rules, and the whole NFL could be angry at this guy, but he's also a very good coach. You bring him in, you might get a great coach who's going to be so grateful to have the job. It's a great look. You know, it's not a bad look for the NFL either, that they didn't send down word to all 32 teams, don't touch this guy. He's suing us. They did it. I think it's awesome that the Steelers did it.
Do you think it has any impact on his case?
No. This guy went from a head coach. He's not even a coordinator. No.
Yeah, he's a defensive assistant. That's a good point. It shouldn't negatively impact his case. Rory McIlroy spoke about
I now love Rory McIlroy.
This is Mickelson gave some comments the other day about the Saudi Golf League that have been under a lot of fire, basically calling out Saudi Arabia's human rights violations, but also saying essentially that he has no issue and might as well play because he could get money and put pressure on the PGA to pay more. Is that a fair way of putting it, Michael?
He wants to make the PGA sweat by saying, you know, we have other options. And he doesn't care about the human rights violations. He's using the Saudi League to get more out of the PGA.
Well, Rory was asked about Phil's comments yesterday and said, I don't want to kick someone while he's down, obviously, but I thought they were naive, selfish, egotistical, and ignorant.
That's a good four spot right there. You know what I'm amazed at, Peter? He is taking heat. He's taking incoming fire from all sides. He has not said anything yet since that comment, which was asinine. Hasn't said a word. Everybody, Dustin Johnson's bailed on it. I mean, he was somebody that people thought he might, you know, play ball with them. Nope. He's out, said, no, he would never do that. So Phil Mickelson has kept his trap shut. And this is a guy who's never seen a microphone that he doesn't love.
Now, he claims that there are two other top players, or that there are other top players who would be interested in this Super Golf League.
Well, let's see them become public.
Both Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau announced they were committed to the PGA Tour.
There you go. Because the PGA Tour has a rule that if you deviate from the tour, you can't play. You couldn't play the Masters. You couldn't play any of their majors, anything like that. You can't play again. So once you start to dance and you play that in that other league, you're done. It's kind of a monopoly the PGA has, which I guess Mickelson's saying he's trying to break. But you better make sure you break it because you might not be able to play golf again.
There is something a little funky about old Phil Mickelson. I've always felt he seems like an odd duck.
Different.
Michael, before we put a bow on this thing, any update for us on Major League Baseball?
Yes, I do. I'm glad you asked. So the meeting has broken up. In fact, of the 5 hours in which they spoke, three of them were in caucuses. So that meant that, you know, the owners went off on their own to talk, and the players went off on their own to talk. So Evan Drylick of The Athletic said, among Major League Baseball proposals today, they raised the pre-arbitration bonus pool $5 million to $20 million. I think the players wanted to be $100 million. Still a very large gap compared to players' proposal. MLB also proposed to allow one more draft pick to be determined by lottery, which means the bottom four teams, right, that finish with the four worst records, they would put them into a hat and draw them out, first pick, second pick, third pick, fourth. The players have proposed they want the top eight picks to do that. Drylick also reports that no revised tax issue of a proposal today, and that is an area of major importance to both sides. So the players want the tax threshold raised considerably. The owners have not done that. And the owners say, if even we raise it a little bit, we're also raising the penalty. So therein lies the rub right there. So they were together for a long time, together essentially. But whether or not they made much progress doesn't seem like that right now. But they didn't storm out, and they've still got 6 days to go before you imperil opening day on March 31st.
Is everything you said there, you think, really that big to keep them from playing?
You would think that there's a middle point, right?
It doesn't sound to me glaring enough that they
So the players want eight picks in the lottery. The owners went from three to four. So you would say that the move would be the players come down two, the owners come up two, and then six. What's the big deal? I think that could get solved. Now, the money that they're putting into the arbitration bonus, that's a lot. So there's a difference of $100 million to $20 million. Now, you'd say, okay, just meet in the middle. Maybe the owners don't want to go up more, and the players don't want to go down more. And then the tax threshold, I think, is going to be difficult. Because if you really up the number the way the players want, then all of a sudden you unleash the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mets, and the Dodgers to do as they please, and there'll be further distance between them and the smaller market teams, and that's why Manfred's in a little bit of a position. I'm sure the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mets, and the Dodgers would love it to be higher. But the lower revenue teams, they don't want that much of a difference between what they can spend and what the top earning markets could spend. And that's the difficult part of solving this. You would think, Peter, all of it is, well, let's meet in the middle. But maybe the middle is a road too far for both sides to get to. I don't know.
That will do it for ENN. It's brought to you by our friends at Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Maybe the Hennessy Playmaker, the Hennessy Triple-Double. Both made with Hennessy VS. Visit Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
Well, we've put a lot there on the table. Let's talk about it. 1-800-919-3776. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay Rosenberg and you. Your phone calls are next right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
To a cowboy?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.